This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, it's long been known that one's mental health is a central part of one's overall state of health. And treating the whole child in an integrated manner is now part of a new approach to pediatric health care. Joining us with more on this is Dr. Stephen Blatt, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University, and Erica Riker, a mental health counselor and the integrated care therapist with Arise Child and Family Service in Syracuse. Thanks for coming in. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Blatt, let me start with you. An integrated care model, what is this new approach? What does it mean?
So the whole philosophy behind this is to try to put non-traditional pediatric services in the pediatrics office. So in this case, we see lots of kids with lots of mental health problems and concerns, and we're fortunate working with Arise that we now have Erica, a mental health therapist, who will see patients in our office, will see our patients in our office.
So the concept here is it's almost like I think of in the public schools, it's like a push-in program. In other words, you're providing ancillary services within the core of a regular physical exam or a regular physical office, basically,
well,
pediatric office.
It's not actually during the regular exam.
No,
but it's
I know.
But it's within our office. And the reason we do that, there are a number of reasons. First, if an office is successful, then your patients like coming to the office and they feel comfortable. And unfortunately, with mental health problems, there's a lot of difficulty in getting patients to the office. It may be transportation. It may be the stigma of going to a mental health office. It may be the fear of working with somebody that you don't know. And because we have Erica in her own office, within our big office setting, patients know us, they trust us, and they could come back to a place they're familiar with to get a different type of service that until 6 months ago that they were unable to get in our office.
Yeah, I think the trust factor is key. I think that's you're really hitting the nail on the head. The fact is, who do you trust most in the life of your child is usually your pediatrician. And in a sense, there's that halo effect that if you feel that this person in your office, you know, you wouldn't bring this person in if it wasn't somebody you could trust.
Exactly. I think that's very important. And the other thing is if somebody comes to the office, to my office, with an earache or sore throat or asthma, they are familiar with that concept. For many people, the idea of behavioral problems and mental health problems is difficult to understand. And so you need even more trust, I think, for treating somebody for mental health issues than you do for asthma. The asthma may actually be more debilitating than the mental health issue, but people are used to going to the doctor for asthma, but for many people, they've never been to a mental health therapist, and they have a lot of misconceptions about what's going to happen, and they're very hesitant. These are the type of conditions that people often do not rush to the doctor to get care for. They kind of drag it out. They resist it, and that's very common, I think, across all age spectrums.
So how does this exactly work? Tell us, your practice is called what?
Our practice is University Pediatric and Adolescent Center, or UPAC, and we take care of about 20,000 patient visits a year, and many of our patients are poor inner-city patients, but many of our patients are middle-class patients where their parents may be doctors or university professors.
So there's a range of people
There's a wide range of people. And
from what ages?
Typically from birth, somewhere between 18 and 21. We don't take new patients after 18, but our existing patients will keep until 21.
Wow, that's quite a gamut, especially when you're starting to talk about mental health issues.
Exactly, and mental health issues in a 9-year-old is much different than mental health issues in a 15-year-old.
So, Erica, how does this exactly happen? In other words, you're physically situated nearby, mm-hmm. and you are there to do what on a regular basis? I mean, are you involved in evaluations as well?
We do our intake evaluation. That's the first 3 sessions. It's a biopsychosocial assessment, just kind of getting a whole picture of the child and what brings he or she in and what goals they want to get out of service.
And how do they bring you in? Take me through an example of how this all works. Just
so actually it starts with either the doctor or the nurse practitioner, and we identify a patient with a concern, which is a pretty common occurrence, and either the parent will bring up or we'll bring up, what do you think about some counseling? You know, have you thought about it? And for those that are interested in it, we either talk directly to Erica because she's in our office, although if she's in session with the patient, we can't do that, or we'll go through our own social worker and we'll make the referral to Erica. And it's a nice handoff. You know, you don't have to write a letter and hope somebody
seamless.
Reads it.
It's very seamless. Well, give us a feeling. If you're just joining us, by the way, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pediatrician Dr. Stephen Blatt and mental health counselor Erica Riker. And we're talking about this kind of integrated approach to dealing with children, both in terms of mental and physical health care, all at the same location. Anyway, tell us, give me a sense of who these kids are. What do they look like generally in terms of what referrals you get? Mm-hmm. Start with that.
My referrals have a very wide range also. I see up to 18 years old. Sometimes they turn 19 in the process, but and I see as young as around 4, because that's my general, you know, being comfortable with seeing someone who's 4 or younger would make me a little bit nervous because they're pretty young to do therapy. I would say generally I see the most people who are around 10 is my most common age.
And what are the kinds of problems that present? What are you seeing?
I see a lot of children who are affected by past trauma or even current trauma that's happening. They have a lot of chaotic home life, also a lot of depression, anxiety, ADHD.
So in general, you get the referral, you bring the child in, you do some kind of an assessment, mm-hmm. and then what kind of therapy do you engage in? What's the principle behind the approach you take?
The approach I take is definitely strengths-based. I think it's very important, especially in kids, to know what their strengths are and really work from there in order to reach their goals.
So is this talk therapy, play therapy? I mean, what kind of stuff do you actually do with these kids?
I would say it's generally talk therapy. With younger kids, it's more play therapy. I'm not certified in play therapy, but I've taken a few classes on it, so.
And you basically, and then how often besides the evaluation and then the process of therapy, how often will you see children?
It's up to the parents and the kids on what they want. Generally, it's every week for about 45 minutes or every other week for about 45 minutes.
And what have you found so far? I know that you've been doing this not very long, but it's obviously it's almost a half a year now, six months or more.
I can't believe it's been that long. I found that it's been very helpful to be at Upstate Rate with the doctors. It's a really nice collaboration that we can provide to clients, and I think that's best practice, really.
In what ways, though? I mean, it's interesting to me because obviously a lot of things really coincide. When you have mental health issues, it can affect your physical health and vice versa. And I would think especially when you're talking about things like hyperactivity or even depression and anxiety, you would really want some pediatric input as well, mm-hmm. pediatrician's input.
Mm-hmm. I do have some clients who a lot of the reason why they are depressed or anxious is because of their physical complaints or symptoms. Or any physical issues that they have. So then it's really important for the doctor and I to meet and discuss those kind of things.
What have you found in terms of not having had this kind of mm-hmm. access before and now having it?
So one of the real benefits in addition to patients just getting the help they need is communication amongst professionals is often very difficult. Everybody's familiar with HIPAA, but the communication rules and practices with mental health is even more restrictive. And because we're in the same place, it's very easy for us to get consents to talk to one another and to share information, where with my mental health colleagues in the community, it's very cumbersome. We still have not worked out a good way. So so we could refer a patient to Erica and the patient will provide consent so we could talk to her, and then Erica will call to try to bring them in, and maybe she can't contact them. She could get back to us, and we have other people that could help track patients down and bring them in. And it's just a lot better, the communication, because that even if you're not in the same physical space, you still want to have an integrated approach to providing health and mental health care.
How about in terms of the parents' attitude towards the whole thing? You mentioned in the very beginning that obviously people are often very gun-shy or frightened, threatened really is probably the best word, if you approach them that their child possibly might need some mental health help. So how does the fact, in terms of what you're actually experiencing, how have you seen the fact that she is within your office and a colleague made the difference in their trust and in their willingness to come?
So I think one very concrete example is that a number of us were meeting yesterday just to talk about the program and where we're at, and I asked Erica, what percent of your patients show up for visits? You know, people vote with their feet. And when patients don't show up, usually it's because they haven't been to see Erica yet. You know, they have a change of heart, and that's very common. Mm-hmm. But the ones that have actually been to Erica, they have a very good show rate, you know, and if they can't show, they call up and cancel. So they are demonstrating that they're getting a lot out of it because they keep showing up. They're very committed to us, and that's probably the best evaluation of all.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, people vote with their feet. It seems to me that this is so needed because, in my experience, there's been a real dearth of resources for mental health resources, not only in our community, but probably nationwide for children. Are you seeing that this is making a difference, first of all, in from your experience with these families, but also, do you think this is just the beginning of something larger happening?
I definitely think it's making a difference, and I also definitely think that this is the beginning of something larger happening, hopefully. Like Dr. Blatt said, I've only been there for about 6 months now, but I'm already on a wait list, which is unfortunate, but that just shows how much need there really is for another person like me to be in the hospital setting.
Where is the support coming from right now for your services?
We got a grant from the Office of Mental Health, thankfully.
So it's a New York State mm-hmm. supported. Is there any talk at this point of it's expanding over time?
There's some talk about expansion, but I think my director would rather wait until I'm there for a year.
Before you can really know.
Right.
But clearly the need is there. How many children can you see?
I see about 45.
Okay, well, that's a lot for one person mm-hmm. to start with. Well, I want to thank you. This is such important information and something so hopeful for our community to know that those resources are available. Thank you both for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Stephen Blatt, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University, and Erica Riker. She's a mental health counselor and integrated care therapist with Arise Child and Family Service in Syracuse. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.